This is HICF Ministries. We pride ourselves as a home away from your home country, a home away from your heavenly home, a home where Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Yes, it's a home where the living word is shared word for word in truth and in love. You are invited to stay tuned. Listen to the word of life brought to you by HICF Ministries. And now, Elder George.
I greet you all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved in Christ, I thank God for the opportunity to go into scriptures to share the word of God with you once again. I would like to use the opportunity to greet the elders of the house, our pastor, Pastor John Dickey, for the opportunity given to me to share the word of God. I would like to also acknowledge our mom in the house and all the other leaders and elders of the house. We thank God for your life and the work that you are doing for the body of Christ. I would like to greet you also, my brothers and sisters in Christ. And we are so glad once again for the opportunity to go into the Word of God. We know that the Word of God that does not lose its power, that becoming more and more relevant in our world today. The Bible tells us that we are the salt of the world. We are the light of the world. And our light can only shine if we abide in the Word of God. If we align our life with the Word of God, therefore our place will be so much needed in the world of today, the sick world of today, that we can bring healing. A house built by the hillside cannot be hidden, as the scripture tells us. Therefore, it's a good opportunity once again to go into the scriptures of old and the scriptures to come, that our life, our pattern, our way of life may align with the purpose of God, that we may be of relevance to our world today. Hallelujah. Today I want to share something on aligning with the purpose of God, or alignment with the purpose of God. And you can also call it, man's only purpose is to accomplish God's purpose, or is to accomplish the purpose of God. We could see it from scripture, from the beginning, the book of beginnings, that's Genesis, to Revelation, that God has a purpose, a plan in mind. If you go to Genesis chapter 2 verse 5, Bible says that God does not send the rain to the earth because there was no man to tilt the earth. Therefore, he said, let us make man in our own image. Therefore, before man was created, there was a purpose in the divinely mindset, in the divine counsel. Before man was created, I believe this message is really important. It's so relevant in our life, in our day, in our world today. This message has been my heart for a good time now. I tried to push it away, but it won't go away. I would like to warn you from the beginning, it's a message that is not for the faint-hearted. But it's very important for the body of Christ globally, and I believe that is a good opportunity, a good platform for all of us, because HICF being a platform of international interaction, people from different denominations and people from different nations. And I believe that this message is really important for the body of Christ across the world, for the Christian, for the believer, whatever your denomination might be. I believe this message is really, really important for you. Hallelujah. And our anchor scripture that I would like to take quickly before we go down is taken from Matthew chapter 16. We'll read it from verse 24. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, that says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Verse 25. "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their souls? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done." Amen. My emphasis today in this message is going to be the verse 27 that says that "For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels." The part B is the emphasis here. The part B says, "And then he will reward." There's going to be a reward for each person according to their works. Their works. You know, my emphasis is going to be there. According to what they have done. According to their work. Hallelujah. We have two privileges that Christ brought to us. The number one is salvation that is free. Salvation that is free. The number two is to work with God. Is to work with God. You cannot work with God if you don't come to Christ. First of all, you have to come to Christ. That is salvation. But the work does not stop there. It's not all about just coming to Christ and folding arms and saying, "I'm done." That is my message that I'm bringing today. And I believe that the church really have to need to listen to this part, because even going studying about this took me to other death. That really the church, that we things that we have heard in church. Let me just pause there. Let's read another scripture. Let's go to John chapter 15. We know John chapter 15 that talks about the vine and the branches. Amen. We know about that very well. If you read John chapter 15 from verse 1 down there, you will hear, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me," that's verse 5, "if you remain in me and I in you, you bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." You know, that scripture is kind of telling us that once you are in Christ Jesus, you are going to bear much fruit. Clearly, that's what the scripture is telling us. If you go on and go on, it gives more explanation that just be in Christ Jesus and you bear much fruit. But my emphasis, as I told you in the beginning, I said it again and I'm saying it again. This is, let's take our time. And go, we are going to read between the lines. We are going to take our time and read in between the lines. And I believe that this is anchored on scripture. This might not be doctrinal, but I believe that this is central to the word of God. And we are going to have different scriptures to solidify it, to conquer this. We are going to verse 2, which is my main message today. The verse 2 of John chapter 15. Many times it's as if we have not read the verse 2. Many times it's as if we have just jumped over the verse 2 and read the other ones. But this is what the verse 2 is saying. Or we read it from the verse 1. He said, I am, verse 1 says, I am the vine and my father is the gardener. Verse 2. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. I'll read it again. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. It means that there are branches in me that do not bear fruit. I believe that it's been a long time since we read this scripture, these messages in the church. There are branches in me that do not bear fruit. There are branches in me that do not do anything. There are branches in me that once they came to cry, hallelujah, hallelujah, they just come. And we've heard it all across the churches. We have heard it all across the body of Christ that, oh, just get God and get riches. Just get God and get house. Just get God and get your car and you are satisfied. And we see how the body of Christ is sick. Just come. We just use God for what we want. We use God for what we need. We use God for our healing and hallelujah. And that's all. And our life is going around and around. But I'm saying that first of all, before we even get into the scene, God has a purpose. Who thinks about God's purpose? Who analyzes? Who sits down to really think, does God have a purpose? Does God have a purpose? Does God have a will? What does God want to do? Does anybody think about that? Does a Christian sit down to really think, what does God want? The will of man, the purpose of man, and the purpose of God cannot be different. The life of man becomes useless if it's not applying with the purpose of God. Our purpose as a man is a subset of the purpose of God. Finding, aligning with the purpose of God. Fundamental, aligning with the purpose of God. Fundamental, we read earlier on Matthew chapter 16, he said that I will come back and I'll bring my reward with the work that you have done, with the works that you have done. We can also use the scripture of the talents that we know so much in the Bible. And that message is so clear to us, so clear to us, that you can be in Christ, that you can receive a talent. That what is the purpose of the talent that has been given to you? What is the purpose of you being in the house of God? What are your works? Hallelujah. We're going to go on and we'll find out that even if your works are not in alignment with the purpose of God, oh, I just want to come and I just do what I want to do, is just do it. No. You have a specific purpose that has been given to you. Hallelujah. We want to continue. Man, God, man partnership. That's the agenda of God. That he want to partner with man. God want to partner with man. God want to work with man. God want to walk with man. God created Adam so that he can be visiting him, so that he can be planning how to do, how to plan, how to work everything. And of course, it's going to be according to God's mindset, God's purpose. Hallelujah. God wants to see his purpose fulfilled in the life of the individual, in your life as an individual. But can we go beyond the selfish mindset? God also wants his will, his purpose to be accomplished in your family as a whole. In your entire family, God also wants his purpose to be accomplished. God wants his purpose to be accomplished in your society. God wants his purpose to be accomplished in your church. That's the community. God also wants his purpose to be accomplished in a territory. In a territory, like in a nation. In a place, in a territory. God also wants his purpose to be accomplished in a time set. in a generation. Oh, that's none of my business. So that's too much. If I'm just a small girl, what is business? Do I have to do with that? Who will do it? Let me just pray, God, that one day people will not realize that they are generational leaders. They are generational thinkers. Who will do it? Will God go pick somebody from mass and come and do it? In many times, the church is just selfishness. Have you thought of your family? That alone can take us. It take each preaching each. The purpose of God in your family. The purpose of God. How will the purpose of God be fulfilled in your family? And I believe that your family can just be almost like my family as well. That people in the past generation have not walked right with God. Has everybody walked right with God in your family? And we know that if you don't walk right with God, things that he can bring, and he can bring it on the entire family. You remember Jonah in the boat? Jonah's things can cause the whole boat to go down. What about your nation? You don't care about, oh, it's a national issue. What is not, that's none of my business. God has a purpose, and he wants somebody. The same thing that he said, who shall we send? Who shall go for us? He's saying the same thing today. Aligning with the purpose of God. Beyond the selfish mindset and enlarging the scope. Who will carry out the purpose of God? God depends on the individual to carry his purpose out. God wants to depend on the community, wants to depend on the church to carry out his purpose. God wants to depend also on a nation. God wants to depend on a generation. All the time I want to throw away this generation, but I can't, the burden of my heart, I have something to do with generation. Sometimes I really feel so sad for our generation. What is going to come? What is going to be on this generation? We need God help us. May God help us. May God help us. God does not play with his purpose. God is so much committed to his purpose. God is so much committed. God cannot compromise with his purpose, with a spiritual principle. God cannot compromise. He cannot compromise. We just finished reading John chapter 15, verse 2. If you are in him, if anything is him and does not bear fruit, he cuts off. Oh, God. I'm just in you. Is that enough? I go to church. We sing hallelujah, and we worship, and we pray. I pray for myself, and I pray for my life. Me, I, and me. We are three. Is that not enough? I do right. I don't sin. I pray the blood all the time to keep holy. That's fine. But if you don't bear fruit, me and you understand what I mean by fruit and your works. Cut off. God is so much committed to his purpose. Hallelujah. And also God, the reason why we can talk about prosperity, as we have heard so much in the church, but the prosperity must be preached in a scope, in alignment with the purpose of God. Prosperity that is outside the purpose of God is witchcraft. It's bewitching the church. Is demonic, because the church will be filled with selfish people. It can crush people to get money he want to get. He can disobey God to get what he want to get. Yes, God want to bless. Yes, God want to equip. Yes, God want to provide, but to fulfill his purpose, so that you can use what he blesses you to do his will, to help his work, to advance his purpose. That's why God blesses. And that's the reason why God blesses. God blesses so much. abundantly and above, so that his will could be fulfilled. That's the only scope. That's the only scope where we can talk about the blessings of God. That we can talk about God providing. Hallelujah. I want to read from Isaiah chapter 58, the verse 6 down, the verse 6 to 11. He said, "It is not this kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cord of the yoke, and to set the oppressed free and to break every yoke. It is not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter when you see the naked, and to clothe them, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go forth of you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, 'Here I am.' If you do away with the yoke of oppression and the appointed finger of the malicious talk." Hallelujah. That's how God provides for his purpose to be accomplished. For his purpose to be accomplished. Somebody wants God to provide just so that he can have his own car for just himself. Somebody wants God to bless him with money so that he can know. God anoint for his purpose to be accomplished. We're going to go deeper into all those things. God gives us authority so that his will should be seen. God gives us influence. God gives us provision so that his will should be seen in a generation, in a nation, in an environment. We are conduits of God's glory. We are conduits of God's dimension. The man, because that's why God created man, to show his own creation, to show the entire creation his dimensions. And God has planned to pass that through man. That's why Jesus was living. He told his disciples, "The greater work that you are going to do, greater than what I've done." God is willing us to do greater works than Jesus was willing, and he told his disciples that we'll do greater than what I do. And we also read in Joel chapter 2 that a day is coming, that the time is now, that he's going to pour forth his spirit. And I believe there is no other time than this time that the Spirit of God is willing to pour forth his spirit. It's for the will of God to be accomplished. It's for the will of God to be accomplished. Is to align with the purpose of God only. To be aligned with the purpose of God only. Apart from that, it's a waste. Apart from that, it's useless. Apart from that, it brings curses. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 11 says, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stone, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work." And that's what I call the fire test. The fire test. We are going step by step. We are just talking first of all about working for God, bearing fruit. Bearing fruit for God. I believe these scriptures, we really have to sit down and get into them. Now we are reading more and more that it's not just bearing fruit, but there's going to be a fire test on your work. Let's be careful. Verse 14. If what has been built survive, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burnt up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet be saved. Even though only as one escaping through the flame. Verse 14 and 15. If what has been built survives, the builder, if what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. Verse 15. If it is burnt up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved. Even though only as one escaping through the fire, through the flames. Take your time to read the scripture again. Unless you want to cut it off the Bible. But you can't do that. You cannot do that. Scripture is clean and clear. As though there's one who just escaped through the flame. Oh, well, I've been in church throughout. What kind of work did you do? Did he align with the purpose of God? Did he go according to the purpose of God? I think that the church is supposed to be a training ground. Yeah, alignment training center. That's how I call it. That the central focus, the central message of a church is supposed to be. Being a church should be a training ground to how, because we could do a lot of things, a lot of beautiful things, a lot of wonderful things, a lot of wonderful things. But these scriptures here cannot be taken off the Bible. The scriptures here cannot be played with. We preach about prosperity, we preach about holy living. We preach about mentioning, but this is what the scripture is saying, that after salvation is not just about sitting under the cross and just pleading the blood of Jesus, wash me, wash me, wash me, wash me. Otherwise we will be walking in a circle, we will be doing a merry-go-round. There are works to do. There are works to do. Jesus said, go and make disciples. But today, our church are just making followers. You see, in a big church, you see a giant leader, a giant, a robust and giant, powerful apostle, powerful prophet, fasting and praying and sharing to his people. But if it's not purposeful to train people, you see the giant leader surrounded by spiritual dwarfs, spiritual infants, spiritual babies. Any headache, you have to call the pastor. Oh, I have headache. Any toothache, you have to call the pastor. Oh, I have toothache. Not growing, not advancing, just babes. I believe that the purpose of the church should be training soldiers. Training soldiers. We have heard a lot of the hope message in a church. I don't think the hope message trains people. It just pops them up. Just the wind comes and blows and scatter everything. They are not strong. They are unable to stand. They are unable to stand. They are unable to stand in a time of test. And Jesus said, how long will you be with me? Telling his disciple. How long will you be with me? By training them. Sending them two by two. Don't take anything. No second tunic, no second garment, no money, just one sandal. Training them. The church was supposed to just purposefully training. Thinking about a generation. Just mouth Christians, let the wind blow. God have mercy on us. We are talking about aligning with the purpose of God. aligning with the will, the purpose of God. Not only the church should train, but how can the church have a full stature? The purpose of the church also is to have full stature. Let me give you a scripture. Let's read it. This is Paul writing to the Hebrew chapter 5, and I want to read from verse 12. Hebrew chapter 5 verse 12. He said, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truth of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the matured, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death, and of faith in God, instruction about clean right, and laying on the hands of resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment, and God permitting, we will do so. I like the way he ends there in verse 3. And God permitting, we will do so. That means that we will still talk about those fundamental things. That's Paul saying. We'll still do that. We'll still do it. Doesn't mean that we won't do it. We'll still do it. But let us move on to maturity. Let us move on to full stature of a church. Let us move on to the full stature of the church. Why? Because every individual in the church is unique. It's irreplaceable. The worship leader, you can't replace one person with another. If one person does not grow to that maturity, there's a loophole in the body of Christ. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we see the church being described as a full body of Christ. The eye, the ear. The eye cannot do the work of the ear. You can take your foot to carry something sometime, but it would be better if the hand was there. Is our church, a global church, balanced? Or we have some loophole somewhere? Or some things are not are not in place? What should we do? What does the church do this time? Some things cannot be taught. Some things are unteachable. Some things can only come by experience. Being on the field, trying to do the will of God, holding firm on the faith, passing through fire. Some things can only be revealed in a secret place, walking along with God, that He will reveal some things to you. Is it too hard? Who is seeking the works of God on a generation, as I said earlier, on my family, as I said earlier? Let's move on from infancy, from the shadow boxing. Yeah, we've done a lot of shadow box. Try this, try that, try an arrow. We've done a roller coaster, high tomorrow, up, down to today. The merry-go-round. Let's, by Paul is admonishing us that we grow on, aligning with the purpose of confining. Our purpose are useless unless they are aligned with the purpose. Aligned with the purpose of God. Aligned. What does God want to do? What does God want me to do? What does God want me to do? That's the number one thing. Otherwise, you'll be doing a lot of work that does not hold anything. And I believe this message is really, really important today. As our church here, we are calling new leaders. Every year, a group of people go away. We call new people to come in place. You will think that it's easy. How challenging is it to find one person And people have the opportunity to serve God, to work for God. Maybe they have other reasons, but you see them declining. Would it be that because they not really ask? We are in the church is not to ask, what is the purpose of God? Or it's just about, oh, me, or it's a personal issue, or it's a you hear that? We have heard that so much time, so many times. Oh, my personal issues, but you go back to God and say, oh, God bless me, God help me through this situation, but I will not touch your purpose. I will not touch your work. I will not work. I will not suffer anywhere. No, I don't want to suffer anything for you. It's taking out all my time. And you see the job being put on only few people. Year come, year out, the same thing. And not only in our church here, but all over. The same people doing that thing. Where are the other people? No, they've not understood that the purpose of God, your purpose comes under the purpose of God. The purpose of a man as a Christian. Otherwise, you'll be a selfish Christian. You go to God, it's only to bless you. It's only God to think about your purpose. It's only about God think about your studies. But you won't think about what God wants to do in your area. What God wants to do in your ministry. What God wants to do in your area. And I believe that it is important that we are taught how, like disciples, how to work for God. How to align ourselves with the purpose of God. And as I said, that the church, I believe, should be a training center. We have seen so much schools and other places purposefully. People are trained to become something. Once you enter the school, you are trained to be an engineer. You are trained to be, and I've seen the church globally, we have not really, unless the person goes to seminary, otherwise, have you been trained to become something? What are we being trained to become? What are we being trained to become? Ephesians chapter 4, you see the people. How can we know that this one will have to come become an apostle? Will have become a teacher? Will have to become a preacher? Will have become a prophet? As the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it's talking about different gifts. They're talking about the gift of help. How can we know? That I believe the church must be a training ground for that. That we train intercessors, that we train preachers. But I've seen globally that the church is just, they are just being the church, try. One day you grab something. Amen. And we have a lot of Christians who are so vibrant in church, but once they find themselves in their banks, Christianity becomes dormant. They are full-time bankers, full-time engineers, but secondary Christians. No, but I believe that a generation must be, the generation is coming, and this is the generation that must be a full-time Christian. A full-time Christian and a banker. A full-time Christian and an engineer. A full-time Christian and a doctor. A medical doctor or whatever. A full-time Christian first. Because in a hospital, we don't have to call the pastor again for prayers. You are there already like a hand, like an extension of the hand of Yahweh. In that company. In that institution. In that school. If you are being trained in the church. To accomplish the purpose of God wherever we are, at that hospital that we are, I'm the extension of the hand of God, of the hand of Yahweh in that place. Aligning with the purpose of God, no, I can't do that. That's the job of apostles and pastors. And you have to call again. Somebody has headache here, pastor. Please come and help. We are not into all those kind of things. We have been watered so much. In the church, yeah, we have been watered so much in the church, and it's not a joke, as we saw in the scriptures. It's not an optional thing. We'll be questioned. We're going to, and I believe we If you have not heard much about these preachings, carry your cross. Follow me. He didn't say carry Jesus' cross. Beautiful Jesus' cross is there that saved us. But carry your own cross. Go check the scripture again. Where is your cross? And in Matthew 11, he said again, come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my cross. Take my yoke, he said. He said, my yoke is easy. No, many are not taking. Or many are taking crosses of other people. I want to take Jesus' cross. That's not it. Your own cross. And we have to be trained to identify with that. To identify with that. We have to move from shadow boxing, from infant level. And many other people also who have been in the church for a long time, which is a dangerous position, a dangerous place, have reached the state of plateau. Or plateau. Yeah. I'll talk about it. Many have reached the state of plateau. Or I have arrived. Yeah. We've sat in the church for, you know, you are just young people. How long have you joined a church? We have served in the church since we are young. Maybe we are retired now. But in this kingdom, there's no retirement. Oh yeah, there's no retirement. Many have reached the state of plateau. Searching deeper, searching higher. No. Satisfied with where we are. Satisfied with what we have. Let's go back to the purpose aligning. That's what I'm talking about. Aligning with the purpose of God. It's not even our purpose in the first place. Therefore, we have to go back to the master, to the constructor, and ask again, where is my next step? What is my next step? What am I going? What do you want me to do next? It's not even that I want to do something first. No. We humble ourselves. We go back to the master. We ask him. There is a perpetual growth, space for growth. We have not reached anywhere. There are dimensions. There are dimensions. As a body of Christ, there are dimensions that we have not reached yet. Jesus going, he said, much will you do. What have you done? I believe that the church together, we have to go back. And when I listen to people like Papa Hagen, I say, are we having the same Christianity or what are we doing? What are we doing? When cancer melts like snow in the sunshine, what are we doing today? I believe that the gift of the Holy Spirit must come back to the church. I believe it. I cry for this generation. That we don't become a washed down generation, a watered down generation. No. The gift of the power gift must come in. The voice gift must come in. The revelatory gift must come in. The operations of the Lord must come back to the church. It's not too far. How would I know that there's somebody in church who's supposed to be a prophet, who's supposed to be an apostle, who's supposed to be a preacher, who's supposed to be a pastor, a shepherd? How would you know? Unless we come back to the Lord. And I believe that this message is really, really important for the church. Destiny and the purpose of God for you is to be an intercessor. Of course, place him first. Seek him first, the kingdom of God and its righteousness. And you have a blank check. All other things will be added unto you. First of all, a full-time Christian and an engineer. We're not saying that everybody should be in a pulpit before being a Christian. But your Christianity stands first in your firm. You are an entrepreneur, but a Christian first. I know this is not a hope message. I know this is not a motivational message. But this is fundamental to the church. This is a fundamental to the growth of the church. Hallelujah. And maturity in these things. I'm taking it a little deeper.
Even in working with God, we are calling for, we need accuracy. We need alignment. That's why I named it alignment. Otherwise, I would have just said working with God, working with the purpose of God. But alignment is really, really important. Oh, alignment, that is for other people. No, it's for all of us. You call yourself a Christian. Now, what I found in scripture, so I got terrified. I tell you the truth. And I believe that we have seen that these things are not being preached in the church. It's as if there's a whole truth that is being hidden from us. That some things we call gray area, we will go, we will die and find out that they are very, 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 very important things. They are very, 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 very important things. We didn't have time to go into the parables of the talent. We realize that things that you take as granted, as gray area, they are really, really important. Things, these kind of things have not been highlighted. The one that go and hit the talent was just thinking that you gave me one talent, I gave you back one talent. Where have I wronged? And I believe that many of us have the mindset. That is our mindset. Until he was surprised to see that you cannot give back. If you go back to read the Matthew 25, you realize that the master did not say, he just said, take this talent. He didn't say anything. He didn't say anything. If you go earlier on in Matthew chapter 25, the earlier verses in the 25, there are two parables over there. The parable is the parables of the 10 virgins. We wouldn't have time to go into all the details, but if you read in between the lines, you realize and you tell yourself the truth, it's not all plain. It's not all plain. It's kind of, there's a seal on the word of God. And they said the groom delayed. There are some things that you might think that is not aligning with the God, in the word of God. If you take your time to look into that, they said the groom delayed. Maybe you say, oh, God cannot delay. God does not delay. How does God delay? But we have already been taught in scripture and we'll run over those things. We just run over it. But Kate, let's sit down and check. The groom delayed. And the wise one said, not so. Is that fair? Is that what we have been taught in scripture? I'm saying that some gray area, we might just say, oh, there are little gray area, but if you don't take time, let's go back to scripture. I was talking about alignment, perfection, alignment, accuracy with the word of God. Moses did not see the promised land. Do you know that? Moses did not see the promised land. How come? Moses of all people? Yes. First of all, God said, strike the stone for water to come. He struck it. Second time, he said, touch the stone. Oh, Brother George, you are taking this too much. You are taking this too personal. I'm just reading the Bible for you. If you have any problem, maybe talk with the Bible and check your scriptures. God said, touch. Second time, he didn't say strike, he said touch. And Moses was angry and he struck the stone. And it became a problem. And God said, you will not enter the kingdom. He begged God. He said, no, you cannot. You will not. And Moses did everything, but his work stopped on the way. It's not. We need to be still in 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 13. King Saul over there was having a conversation with Samuel the prophet, and Samuel told him, this day your kingdom has been taken away from you. Your kingdom was supposed to be given to you perpetually, but this day, because you disobey God, your kingdom has been taken. Do you know that Bartholomew, the blind man, who have said, Jesus, son of Saul, have mercy on me? Yeah, that's how scripture should have been. Yeah, because of non-alignment with the purpose of God, the kingdom of Saul has been taken away. Now, but you know, only say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.
There's work to do. Finding a purpose. We go to church. We jump, sing hallelujah. Praise God. We love you, Jesus. But I'm saying that your purpose and your will, what your ambition, what makes you running all across the world, or your daily suffering and all that, does not come first before the will of God. The will of God comes first. Let's pause for 1 minute. As I told you in the beginning, this is not for the faint-hearted. It's been a burden on my heart since I saw these scriptures. And I believe that somebody needs to hear it. We have put a lot of things before, and now I'm part of it. Until I found it, wherever you find it, just leave everything there. God will start reconstructing you from there, right from there. Anywhere you are, anywhere you are in life, in stage in life, stop right there and turn back to God and say, God, what is your purpose? And you start a journey of prayer, a journey of seeking the face of God. I believe this is a secret. This is the key that I'm giving you. That the word of God is giving us, maybe if I should say. Wherever you are, stop right there and turn to God. He's the one who showed me everything and said I should come to China. But I was coming to study. And after I finished part of my study, I was ready to go home. I sent my things home. Later on, to realize that it's something that he's showing to me to align with his purpose. And now, PhD or whatever is useless. And I understood the words of Paul. I call them done. I call them done. Tell you the truth. Take away the whole world. And let me align with the purpose of God. That's where all blessings is. I know I'm in a process. But I'm sure, surely than sure and sure for sure, align with the purpose of God is the best ever that happened. I wasted a lot of time in a church that I was my whole life. It's just going to church, reading hymnals, and I prayed a lot of rosary. But I know that there is a vacuum in my heart that I was searching, that I was looking for. God's purpose is for a generation. It's not for a denomination. But we have focused a lot on denominations instead of focusing on the generation. God have mercy on us. Wherever you find yourself as you hear this message, drop everything, go on your knees, set a journey to find the purpose of God for your life specifically. Yours might be different from mine, but you have a uniqueness that God has for you. Search for it, seek for it, find it, and align yourself with it. Don't let anything distract you. Don't let anything take you away. Why? There are many reasons. I said that maturity in aligning with the purpose of God is a multidote. It's an antidote, but multidote. First of all, aligning with the purpose of God. First of all, we are not alone in the city. There's a kingdom of darkness always fighting you, pushing you away from the will of God. That is where he can get you. When you are off the will of God, you are vulnerable. You are vulnerable, he can get you. And also the circumstances of this life. He said, a man builds his house on the sand, one on a rock. The sun will come, the rain will come, the storm will come. Where are you? Are you in America or you are in Asia? The storm will come wherever you are. Are you hiding wherever? Unless you build your rock. Oh, by scripture would have said that, and God stopped the rain from coming on the house that was built on the rock. No. Read your scriptures once again. The rain came. There are some fires God will not take you off there. There are some fires God will not prevent you from. God will follow you and accompany you through right through those fires. Oh yeah. God will accompany you right through those storms. I'm talking about maturity in Christ. And I believe this thing must be taught in the church. Maturity in aligning with the purpose of God. What are you doing in the church? Have you found a purpose of God in you for your life? Why he created you? Why he made you? Let me bring my message to an end because of time. Let's keep in step with God and to find the purpose of God. I tell you that it's not in a day prayer, but it's a journey. It's a journey. Today you say you found it. Tomorrow,
God will call you to a higher level. It's like a mother teaching a child to walk. You see that? You see that a child trying to walk the first steps. The mother is in front and extending his hand. He said, come. As the baby comes, the mother steps back until the child knows how to walk. Yeah, that's how God works sometimes. You cannot say, if I found it, I settle. No. That's the very day you start falling. Let's go back to the Holy Spirit. Well, let's go back to intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Longer times of prayer. Just saying it in the plain words. Longer times of prayer. Longer times of prayer. Seeking. Just being there with God. Finding the purpose of God in my life. Tarrying in the secret place. Making Holy Spirit your friend. That's it. And I want to also admonish you that it's bigger than you. The purpose of God is bigger than you yourself and selfish. No, it's bigger. Think about your nation. Think about your generation. Think about your family. If you come from where I come from, if you go back, people have come, listen, we are in a church, but we might our works might be different. Some have their parents who work for God, who served God, and they are enjoying some blessings that their parents have left them for them. It's just like inheritance. But some of us, we need to amend and plead for the mercy of God for the mistakes of our parents, and start. Otherwise, you see patterns in your family if you don't stand against it. And realign with God, you like a joke, you see the same negative patterns happening in your life as well. But it doesn't mean that if your parents were also working for God, you are safe. You are not safe from it. We are not alone in a city. There are workers of darkness who are standing against you. How can you clear all those things and align perfectly with the will of God and attain the height that God wants you to attain? Let's tarry at the secret place. Who shall ascend in the secret on the holy hills of the Lord? He said there are ways that the lion and the eagles have not seen. The full ministry of the Holy Spirit, we pray for it to come back to the church. Of the Holy Spirit, the full ministry of the Holy Spirit for this generation. All the fruits of the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, singular, must come fully in the church of today. The church of today needs it more than ever. If Joel chapter 2 should be, it's for our generation. Hallelujah. We thank God for this opportunity as I bring my message to an end. May God help us. May the Holy Spirit help us. We ask, O Holy Spirit, breathe on us. Help us, help this generation, oh God. We need you more than ever. What will become of this generation as the darkness get darker? Let our light so shine that the darkness will not comprehend it. Help us, Spirit of God, and let our light so shine. Let your glory so shine upon our life. You say, arise and shine, for your light has come. So I want to speak for this generation. Arise and shine, for your light has come. Arise to the word of God. I will arise to the purpose of God. Align with the purpose of God. Align with the calling of God upon your life. For this generation, let's go beyond selfishness and think of a wider scope. Think of a generation. We thank you, O God. And we bless your holy name. For your Spirit is at work. Amending, reconstructing the walls, the ruined walls, and rebuilding the walls afresh and new. I pray that this message, as you have asked me to do, may touch the heart, that the young guy, that the young lady will reflect upon them and have a new walk with you. We thank you and bless your holy name. In the mighty name of Jesus.